You're listening to the Qalam Podcast, Ramadan Reflections by Mufti Hussain Kamani. This summer, Mufti Hussain will be teaching the Hadith Intensive. Students will study the different methods of compilation and preservation of a Hadith, the major role female scholars have played in Hadith preservation, the biography of famous Hadith narrators, as well as different Ahadith collections and excerpts from famous Hadith texts like Sahih al-Bukhari. For more information, visit hadithintensive.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الانبياء وعلى اله الازكياء واصحابه الاتقياء اما بعد. In every form of worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us, there is some form of a struggle, a form of mujahada, a difficulty. Regardless of whether the ibadah is small in nature, like a person making dhikr, there is a discomfort of keeping yourself engaged, keeping yourself focused, not doing other things that you could be enjoying at that time. Or when it comes to giving zakat, there is a discomfort there because that wealth can be used for your own personal pleasure. Or when it comes to hajj, traveling across the globe to another country that's hot as a furnace, wearing garments that you don't feel comfortable in, not bathing yourself, not grooming yourself, there is a sacrifice involved in every ibadah. The same thing goes for salah, and the same thing goes for fasting as well. When you experience a mujahada, when you experience the difficulty of the ibadah, that's somewhat of a sign that you're doing the ibadah right. If you experience no difficulty at all, either that could be a sign that you're doing it wrong, or if you're doing it right and you don't feel any difficulty, that could mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showering His blessing upon you and making that ibadah easy. And you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the ibadah a little difficult and there's a little struggle involved in there, that's the moment that you spiritually grow. There's one hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where a companion by the name of Abu Usama came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, O Messenger of Allah, guide me towards an act. If I do this act, I will gain access and entry into Jannah. The hadith is narrated by Imam Nasa'i rahmatullahi alayhi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to the Sahabi, be punctual and particular about your fast. فَإِنَّهُ لَا عِدْلَ لَهُ, because there is nothing that compares to fasting. The sacrifice that a person goes through is very real. And it's not for a few hours, it's not for one or two days, it's for 30 days straight. And that's exactly why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in another narration, he said to the companions that for the fasting person, there are two joys, farhatan. Farhatun inda fitri, wa farhatun inda liqa'i rabbi. There is one joy that the fasting person experiences when the iftar time comes. You know, you're struggling all day, then right when it's a minute left and someone says there's 1 minute left, there's a spark of joy in the heart. It's almost over. And you pick up the date and you say your dua, hopefully, and you start chowing down. You enjoy the date so much. All of a sudden, dates are the most pleasurable thing that your mouth can taste because it's the first thing that you're tasting. So farhatun inda fitri, there is a joy that a person experiences when they break their fast. Some scholars, they say, this joy isn't actually because of the food, rather it's because of an act that's done right before iftar. And in one narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, the dua made before iftar is never rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That dua is highly acceptable. And the joy this person is experiencing isn't the food, it's actually that this person knows that the dua I just made right now was accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The dua I made for my marriage, the dua I made for my iman, the dua I made for my children, for my community, for the protection of the ummah, for the hungry people across the world, for my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the beloved companions, for the awliya of Allah, the ulama, the salihun, all of these people that I just included in my dua, I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala surely, without any doubt, will give great acceptance to this dua. That's what brings this person joy. That's what makes them happy. I just made dua for my parent that has passed away. I've just made dua for a sibling or child of mine that is lying 6 feet beneath the ground. And I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted this. And the second thing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, farhatan, the second joy, is when that fasting person stands in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because what Allah has stored for you in the hereafter is much greater than a date. It's much more than your iftar on your spread in front of you. What Allah has stored for you there, the hadith is telling us, it'll bring such joy to you that you will thank Allah for every moment, every second of hunger and thirst you experience while you are fasting. These moments right before a person breaks their fast are very special moments. And it's because of the sacrifice involved when a person makes dua. The Prophet ﷺ tells us that in Hajj, so much sacrifice involved. So when it comes to the pillar of Hajj, Arafah, what should you do? If you ask someone who's gone for Hajj, what are you told to do in Arafah? And your imam will tell you the only thing you're supposed to do is dua. There's no push-ups, no handstand, no special fancy shamansi salah. All you do is dua. Because you've gone through so much sacrifice, now Allah wants to reward you, and that rewarding comes in the form of dua. Similarly, when it comes to salah, after all the humbling and breaking our ego and discipline that we go through, standing in one place, looking in one place, listening attentively, bowing down, prostrating, glorifying Allah, exalting Allah, after that whole cleaning process, think of the beginning of your salah kind of like the rinse cycle in the washing machine. It's just washing the dirt out of you, humbling you, breaking you down. And then at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the dessert. What is that? Before your salah, make whatever dua you want. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the dua made before salam, before the end of your prayer, right at the end, that dua that's made is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the same thing goes with fasting too. After all the hours of hunger and thirst and all the mujahada and the migraine and the stomach ache and the thirst and all of it that comes, at the end of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stored a moment that you can ask whatever you want. And this is the same reason why Abdullah bin Amr radiallahu anhu, when his time for iftar would come, he would call all of his family members. He would call his children and call his wives and bring everyone nearby. And then he would raise his hands and they would make dua together. And then after that, they would make the iftar. Imam Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi narrates this, Abdullah bin Amr's narration in his tafsir. And where Ibn Kathir narrates his tafsir is very, this hadith is very interesting actually. He brings it under the ayah, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Okay? Surah Baqarah. This ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when my servant asks regarding me, say to them, not even say, إِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي, when my servant asks regarding me, فَإِنِّي قَرِيمٌ, verily I am very close. فَإِنِّي قَرِيمٌ, verily I am very close. Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi says, if you focus on this ayah, what you'll realize is that this ayah comes right after the mention of Psalm and Ramadan in Surah Baqarah. Right? وَلِتُكْمِلُ الْعِدَّةَ وَلِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Allah just finishes off the discussion of Psalm, just finishes talking about the month of Ramadan. And then immediately the ayah that comes after that is that when you call on to me, indeed I am very close to you. Because when a person fasts, they get very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's exactly what you should be doing at the end of your fast, raising your hands in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as narrated by Imam Tirmidhi and also by Imam Ibn Majah rahmatullahi alayhi, ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا تُرَدُّ دَعْوَتُهُمْ. There are three people whose prayer is not rejected. Three people are such, their prayer is not rejected. The first person, أَصَّائِمُ حَتَّى يُفْتِرُ. The fasting person until they make iftar, until they break their fast. The second person, wal-imam al-adil, the just ruler. And the third person, al-madhloom, the one who was oppressed. We read through all these narrations and many more, and we understand the value of the dua at the end of our fast. But now comes the reality. What are we doing before our fast? You know, half of our community is spending time in the kitchen just garnishing food and making the last drink and last dessert and last fruit chaat that we're making before iftar. That's where we're spending the most valuable moments of our fast. We're spending them preparing for food, putting the tablecloth out, doing this, doing that, vacuuming, putting fragrance on, and making sure the food is right, and you know, garnishing it. And half the other group of people that are in the masjid, they're sitting on a table, staring at food aimlessly, even though they can't have it, not making any dua at all. Wasting these moments. Just sitting there looking at food. You know, you ask them, what are you doing right now? The food's in front of you. This is a time for you to raise your hands and ask Allah. Allah has opened the doors of Jannah for you. Shaitan is locked away. The doors of Jannah are open. You just finished, you're about to finish your fast off. It's the last part. You make a dua, it will be accepted. And this person is just sitting there looking at the food and wasting their time. This is how we waste, you know. My teachers used to say, I asked him, I said, what's the difference between an average person and the special friends of Allah? He said, the special friends of Allah, they do their ibadah and they follow through with sincerity till the end. They follow through with ihsan till the end. The average person, they start off their ibadah with sincerity and ihsan, sincerity and excellence, but they don't see it through till the end with sincerity and acceptance. And that's kind of like one of the differences, that you see your fast through right till the end, until the adhan isn't called, you keep making dua, you keep calling on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now you can ask, what can I do and how can I become punctual in making dua before iftar? So the first thing, after Asr Salah, or 30 minutes or 45 minutes before your iftar, clear your schedule. No cooking, no food prepping, no putting out the tablecloth, have everything ready. 45 minutes before, no more phone calls, no more email, no more Facebook, no more Twitter, no more visiting friends, no driving on the highway, no rushing to someone else's home. If you want to be in the masjid for iftar, get there 45 minutes before. Otherwise, the most important part of your fast will be wasted. Clear out your schedule 45 minutes before iftar and get ready to get into the dua zone. The second thing, keep a dua book with you. The reason is because ideally you should make dua on your own, with your own words, what comes from your heart. But if you go dry on words, or if you go dry on thoughts, and you're not sure how to continue, and the clock says 27 minutes, and you've only been making dua for 3 minutes, and you're thinking, what do I do now for the next 27? Keep a dua book with you. I usually recommend the reading of one of my favorite dua books, Al-Hizb al-Azam. This is a dua collection gathered by Mullah Ali al-Qari, rahimahullah ta'ala, a great muhaddith, one of the greatest scholars of hadith of his time, and his books of hadith are still studied till today and taught till today. Mullah Ali Qari rahimahullah ta'ala gathered a great compilation of du'as known as Al-Hizb al-Azam. If anyone would like a copy of it, you're more than welcome to reach out to me. I can share it with you. Keep that PDF with you right before your iftar. So if you go dry on your du'as, you're ready to move forward. The third thing, know that you don't only owe du'a to yourself. You don't only need to make du'a for yourself, but remind yourself there are certain people who you owe du'a to. There are certain people who've played a role in your life that making dua for them is necessary upon you. For example, your parents. Making dua for them is not an option. You need to. You must make dua for them. Allah says in the Quran, وَقُرْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. You need to make dua for them. وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الظُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَقُرْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا. They are your children. You need to make dua for them. Someone who borrowed you money 20 years ago, you still need to make dua for them. Someone who came to visit you when you were sick, make dua for them. Someone who helped you when you're moving, make dua for them. Someone who came to you at the time that you needed it the most and just took you out for a dinner or took you out for a meal or just sat with you and shared tears with you, you should be making dua for them. And out of all the people you should be making dua for, without any doubt, you should be making dua for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba, and the generations that came before and the sacrifice they made. Don't make dua just a selfish thing. As Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi says under this ayah, he says, make dua for yourself, your dunya, your akhirah, and for the Muslim ummah. He said, if you finish off, if you're tired, or if your time, half an hour ends before, you know, if you finish making dua before the half an hour clock ends, you really don't understand the depth of these things. You don't understand how much dua you should be making for your dunya. You really don't understand how much dua you should be making for your akhirah. You really don't understand how much dua you should be making for the Muslim ummah. Otherwise, days should pass by and your hands shouldn't come down. Your hands shouldn't be dry. You continue to make dua for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with that, I wanted to close off this halaqah of ours with a reminder that the month of Ramadan is a very special month. Fasting is a very special ibadah. There's a lot of sacrifice in it. But don't give up on the race 20 minutes before your iftar. Because at that point, you're truly a loser. The cream was the last 20 minutes, the last 10 minutes, the last 5 minutes, and that's when you should raise your hands and pour your heart out in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tell Allah how weak you are. Expose yourself in front of your Creator. Be humble in front of your Creator. And ask your Allah for whatever you want. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never ever fail you. You know, you can keep asking Allah, Allah will never get tired of hearing you. You can ask other human beings, they'll get annoyed very quickly. That's not the relationship you have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us all the tawfiq and energy, ability, guidance, the words to make dua the way we should be making dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us with the du'as of the prophets, the du'as of the awliya, of the salihin, the shuhada, the siddiqeen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrect us with them on the day of judgment. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.